All right, this week's episode of Magnified, we're joined by Cody Tritter of Rep YYC. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
So my usual spiel is I let the guests introduce themselves because I figure you guys are going to do a better job than I will. So if you want to give kind of your elevator pitch, who you are, what you do, and then we'll kind of dive into a conversation.
It's probably my least favorite thing to do on a podcast is talk about myself in that way. But sure. To give you the very short version of it, I've been in real estate for quite a few years. I run a really good team out of Calgary. We've got over about 30 agents. Last year, we did around 500 transactions. And we're a force, man. We're a big team that we're trying to grow, expand throughout Canada, and really grow our brokerage model because I think it's the best model out there right now.
All right, I want to revisit that, the brokerage model discussion, but let's take it back to the beginning. How did you get into real estate? What inspired you to get into the business? What's the story behind that?
I did what every young guy probably does when they're in their 20s, is you flounder around trying to find something that appeals to you. I was in real estate early on, right out of high school. I worked with a realtor, and I really enjoyed it, but it just didn't really pan out. And then I eventually got back into real estate after doing some schooling and worked in insurance for a bit. And for me, it was just the potential to leverage some skills I had from like videography to photography to marketing and design, and truly understanding like the back end of a business. Real estate, everyone thinks it's just the component of buying and selling a house, but truly, like when you grow and you start scaling a business, it's more than that. Like the client side of it, like to give you an example, I do myself maybe like under 10 transactions a year. With just friends and family, okay. Like very tight group. But as a team, I'm helping and facilitating over 500 transactions. So, you know, there's scalability there. There's growth there. There's not a lot of growth if you're the guy that has to do it every single year, year over year, and replicate those results and grow those results, you know?
Yeah, that seems to be a common theme amongst high-producing teams like yours. But to get to that point of leveraging other agents, did you build up your business to a pretty high producing level, or did you kind of start building a team out when you was early in the business? How did that kind of shake out?
Yeah. So I started solo, and I spent too much time trying to spin my wheels doing what I thought was important. And so even though I had a good background in marketing and all this stuff to really understand fundamentals of it or how to run an ad campaign, things like that, I truly didn't understand the real estate side of it. And like to run a team, to be functional, you have to be wholly rounded, right? And so I got on with a team, and it's not that I don't love sales. I love like dealing with people. I love the real estate side of it, but my passion more is like creating in the back end and that. And so with them, I ended up taking up a marketing role, really understood the business, helped them grow that, but they eventually decided to switch from a broker from this brokerage we were at, RE/MAX, into their own brokerage. And it was at that point where I'd met a few people and in the industry on the team, Dusko, my business partner, Slav, our other business partner, and we just said, you know what, like we can do exactly what they're doing, and in our own way, like the team model, but we can do it a lot better. Like we think there's a ton of room for us to really put in things that are, you know, gaps that are missing. And it's not to say like they were doing a bad job. It's just, you know, there's always a gap to be missing. And we started filling that void, and the gaps, like for us, we saw were more than one lead gen opportunity, like real hands-on training with agents where you're teaching them like it's tough when you're on a team because you're trying to teach a bunch of different people how to do the same thing, but that's, you know, that's not going to work, right? Like you've got tons of different personalities, tons of different types. So you have to know each type of person. And it really it comes down to it. Like we train each person individually when we bring them onto our brokerage. Like we can't be bringing people in. our philosophy, I think, is like, you know, a broker, how do I say this without getting in trouble? A brokerage is the vessel, right? That like we have to have our license at, but not all brokerages are created the same and not all brokers are created equally. Mm-hmm. And like a lot of brokers are experienced guys who know the real estate side, but may not know the actual business side, especially in today's market. It's changing year to year even, right? And like, if you're not using AI, if you're not using, like it's one thing to be on social media. And I think now like everybody's patting themselves on the back being like, hey, I'm doing videos, but it's like, yeah, everybody's doing video, but are you doing now like short form content, long form content? are you advertising that content to people? Like, what's your reach, right? Because that's what actually matters, not just doing it, you know?
Yeah.
And so in a roundabout way, yeah, I started with this team, and then we ended up growing our own, and we scale. Like, for us, the mindset is, we stole this from another team, but it's and their mindset was create pain of separation from the team.
Okay.
So that, like, make it hard for the team to leave the team, from the sense that, like, they control everything. They control the leads. They control all the back end and everything. So they don't really tell you what's going on. And they make it difficult for you as an agent to come out of their system and grow. They may not give you, like, good splits, things like that. And our model is like, hey, you know what? Like, if we bring someone in and they're a really good agent and we really crush it for them and we provide all the value in the world, why would they actually want to go out on their own? Like, why do they want to go and run a solo venture? Because if they do, come sit in my office with me for 8 hours and see all the other things you have to do, right? All the other stuff that, like, comes with running your business individually, if you really want to push it to that next level and know that that's who you're competing against.
Right. That was one of the questions I was going to ask you, is what is the value prop? So what is, you know, I'm an agent. We're having a conversation. How do you sell me on joining your team? Because I think where a lot of solo agents kind of, they get roadblocked in terms of trying to build their own team. They don't feel like they can actually offer anything to another agent. So they start a conversation like, well, yeah, I guess you get that from your broker already. Like, so what are some of the selling points for your recruiting?
So first and foremost, like if you don't have lead gen going on, you know, like if any broker brings you and says like, I'm going to train you, I'm going to do this and that, but if they're not teaching you how to do or generate leads for you, if they're not doing one or the other, you won't have a business. Like, plain and simple, you won't have a business, right? And like, we've had people who come in that, you know, have great spheres, great backgrounds, great like networks that they should be able to leverage, that don't leverage them at all or are unable to, because it takes time. It takes a period for people in your group to be like, hey, I trust this person. I want to do this transaction with them. I'm familiar with them. Like, that, it takes time for that. And so for us, like, training is such a big part of it. Or leads are such a big part of it, coupled with training those, like, how to convert. Cause then it's like, you know, if we teach you how to get these leads and be on these leads, what are you saying when you're in the house? How does a showing go? How does a listing appointment go?
Yeah.
Right. And a broker, like, truthfully, that's why I think we will eventually see a shift in the change in the model of all, like, all industries, where I think, like, it's probably coming down the pipeline faster than we know, where agents will have to have some form of mentorship in the industry. Because, like, truthfully, when you look at, like, what it takes to get into this industry, what the requirements are for licensing, and then what you're able to do with a license with, you know, very little actual guidance, it's kind of scary, right? Like, someone can get licensed, go to a virtual brokerage, sign up, and then be selling and trading in real estate and have no real conversation in real estate. And like, but the gap there isn't saying that you need a brokerage with a person that they can visit. The gap is they should be having to go under somebody that's been in the industry that they can talk to, that they can leverage. And that's our biggest value, right? We've got tons of experience, tons of, like, our structure and leadership of how we, when we bring agents on, is very like, you're in, you've got support from the staff on how to learn our systems. You've got support from our operations manager on how to work with leads, the compliance liabilities. And then you're getting trained as well on like how to talk to leads, how to, you know, cause like we're value, we sell on value, and that's how I sell people when I'm in a meeting and an interview as well. It's, you know, I don't sit there and tell them, like, I hate the idea, like, trying to even sell other places under the bus versus just saying like, look, this is what we do. Now go ask other people what they do. And if they don't do that, we'll see you next week, you know?
Right. What does lead gen look like for you guys? Do the agents have a budget? Are you just generating leads for the company and then handing them out as they come in? What does that look like?
And it's cool. Like, this is something agents should know too, is like, every team's different on how they, cause like, there's no rules, right? There's no rules on how you have to give out leads or what the splits are or anything. Sorry. So like, we look at it like, for us, like, again, it's that pain of separation that we make it so good that they don't want to leave. We pay for all their leads. We generate leads. And genuinely, like, if someone, you know, I've had some agents who want to make 400 calls a week, we'll support that. You know, if they really want to do that, and they can, like, I think if you're making 400 calls and you're not converting on it, then like you probably should focus more on what we're saying versus the volume, right? But yeah, like we will support anybody in that. And it's mainly through, I mean, almost I'd say 90%+ is online and then referrals through our network of, right? But we spend on average $25,000 to $45,000 a month in just our lead gen. That just generating leads, wow, just the different pillars. That's not what we always spent, right? That started as a, you know, when we first started, say like a $5,000 budget a month, right? But like even when COVID hit, everyone we knew, even our brokerage, was firing people, letting people go, basically doing the like, oh, like, you know, what are we gonna do? What and we just said, like, hey, like it's either done or it's not. So we actually doubled down on our leads. We started spending more because we were like, everybody's at home shopping online right now, nothing better to do. That's our space. So we invested more. We hired people and we just kept training. We just kept doing Zoom training and being like, hey guys, like, smart, you know, there's a whole gap in group of people who are like mentally just, I don't want to say weak, but are like so distracted by this, so consumed by this. They're making 80 other plans. Be the person that's not that. Just get on the phone, start talking to people, keep it normal. People want some normalcy too in that time, right? Like people didn't want to just hear COVID. Let's talk about their dreams, talk about their plans. Hey, acknowledge it might not be for 6 months, but like talk to them, build that rapport, build that pipeline, you know?
So what does the lead gen look like? You're doing social media ads, pay-per-click, you know, Google, and then if you wouldn't mind sharing what the kind of cost per lead and the ROI you're seeing on that investment, how's that all shake?
Yeah. Admittedly, I'm probably the worst if you were to ask me like my exact numbers of like cost per lead conversion. Yeah. And I could get down a very boring, probably rabbit hole of, cause like you got to think of this, like I run four different platforms. I run a Chime site, now Lofty, mm-hmm, Sierra Interactive, Real Estate Webmasters, and a Commissions Inc. website. And so all of those serve different purposes. All of those we drive different types of traffic from and through. Some of them, for example, like CalgaryLuxuryRealEstate.com is on our Sierra site. That's a luxury-only site. So there, I'm only trying to drive luxury traffic to it, only trying to, you know, specific keywords, all that. In Calgary, though, you're anywhere from like $8 to $20 a lead for a buyer and probably $40 to $50+ for a seller, somewhere in there.
Yeah.
But here's the thing, like, you know, and this is why it's so tough for agents, because like they go to a broker and the broker says, I'm going to give you leads. What does that mean? Like how many leads are they going to give you? What are those leads? Because I can, you know, generate a lot of cheap, free, easy leads that like will go nowhere, you know, like mm-hmm, that like are just email registrations or just like Facebook leads. I'm not a big fan of them, right? There's some room in there, but like very low converting. But like if I gave you 1,000 of them, you shouldn't really pat me on the back for it. It just, you know.
Right. So it's interesting. You use four different solutions. What's the reasoning behind that? Do they all kind of serve a different purpose? How do you kind of end up doing that?
You know, and I know you do IDX into WordPress, and that's something that mm-hmm, like I've been really flirting with, because my biggest issue with any of these tech platforms is like I'm handcuffed by them. So like my business, like, you know, one of them is our primary one. If they just decided to quit, like I've got a big deal on my hands to try and like move a database of 150,000 people who are all being dripped, you know, property alerts and have notes. I've got to get that moved into a system that's going to work. May not be easy, right? So, and then you've got like Follow-Up Boss, for example. Like I'm not like almost got pushed into Follow-Up Boss, but then they get bought out by Zillow, and I'm like, I don't really want to be associated with a company that's associated with that, because like honestly, the big data, the big numbers really matters, right? And like us being away from them, I think has more value than us giving them potentially all that data, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's interesting. Yeah, because obviously agents shop around a lot and often think that it's the solution is going to be the key to their success, but really it's just a tool for them. So it's interesting to hear that you're using four different platforms for four different reasons. I want to kind of go back to talking about you. Yeah, go ahead.
Sorry, I was going to say, so, and for us, it's like Commissions Inc., the Sync platform, is a very good PPC place, right? but they have higher costs. So then, like, you know, a single agent may not want to consider that. And then now, like, if I look at it and I go, you know, if I were to give advice to people and they say, hey, where would you jump in right now? It may not be that, because in the last 5 years since we've been doing this, like, I've seen huge advances in tech platforms versus them. So, you know, like, there's the landscape and dynamics always changing. And for my advice for any team or any agent is, like, don't have all your eggs in one basket. You know, like, for us, for even like the reason we have a Lofty site, we have two now, of those, is because, like, the integration with our brokerage, it's like, I think, you know, it's a nominal amount to have a site with them. So I just have it, right? And, like, we can leverage another domain. I mean, we have over 500 domains, and I'd say 400 of them are real estate related, wow, really good domains. And for us, like, we eventually will plan to build out a lot of those, right? Like, I own a lot of luxury domains. And so, like, the plan is, like, work with other agents. Like, we have a team in Edmonton we work with that, like, we're helping support grow their business and trying to, like, cause, like, in this brokerage model, we all win, right? As we grow, mm-hmm, as we help other people grow, we all win.
Yeah. As I said, I want to kind of talk about building out the team. Sounds like it's a pretty daunting task, right? Like, all right, where do I start? So who were the first people you hired? Were they agents, or were they more on the admin side so you could get all of that set up before bringing an agent in and plugging them in?
I'd say if you want to run a team, like, be ready to work a lot or be ready to hire a lot of people. Like, it's one or the other, right? Mm-hmm. So I'd say for me, I work a lot and we hire a decent amount of people, but it's tough because, like, nobody I think is going to be as motivated as you are to seeing, like, the success of your business through. And the little things really matter. And it's like, I'll give you an example. Like, it's one thing to put up a blog, and then it's another thing to put up, like, a well-written blog with, like, the proper SEO structure, like, making, and, like, I can get my guy to do that. And, like, my guy will put the blog together, but then I'm still going through and double checking it. Is that, are the images shrunk so that the size is smaller, so the page loads quicker? Cause, like, those details may, you know, may take out 3 minutes out of my day, but, like, they matter long-term for the overall success of the business. But it's hard to find someone that cares about that kind of stuff. So, like, for us, it's always an evolution of growing responsibly, I guess, like, scaling responsibly. So, you know, like, I used to do our video editing, for example. Like, for a long time, I was doing all our video editing, our video shooting. And then it got to a point where it was like, okay, if I'm doing this, it's taking away from this, this, and this in the business, and I can't do this and this. So, like, let's bring on this guy. And that's kind of where it's like, you know, as my capacity keeps getting hit, or my business partner capacity keeps getting hit, we keep hiring people because, like, the ROI on our time in this business is much higher than some of those tasks we're performing, right?
Yeah. So I guess it's prioritizing where your time should be spent and then leveraging other people's skill sets to make up the gap.
And honestly, like, and kind of accepting though that, like, it may not be there, right? Like, hiring is one of the toughest parts of a business. Like, not just the agents, but, like, your staff, your back end. We've had, at some times we've had 6 ISAs, and, like, you've got to train each person. You've got to, you know, like, mm-hmm, you've got to get them into your system. And, like, I'll tell you this, like, I could hire like 10 ISAs tomorrow, no problem. Right. But, like, they have to know the cadence, the systems, the way we talk to our clients, and that whole thing, because, like, when they're passing a lead over, if I just brought in, like, your average routine, like, whatever call service ISA, it's a very, like, checkboxy call, low converting and, like, low value. And, like, it's easy to do that, put that person in place, but it's a lot harder to, like, bring the right person in place, train them, get them into your systems, and actually, like, adopt what you're doing and buy into it, you know?
Yeah. You know, Gary Vaynerchuk talks about that a lot. It's like, people complain to him that no one cares about the business as much as they do. And it's like, well, of course they don't. It's not their business. So you've got to remove that expectation and just accept that you're going to have to be the one that sets the standards. I did want to talk about your ISA team, because I was impressed with something you said on another podcast about how you set them up and some of the tactics you use, like training them on local, you know, kind of micro market trends and stuff like that. So they have, you know, for better, lack of a better word, content to bring people they're speaking to. How does that all work?
You know what it is, man? Like, if I jump on with someone, say from the Philippines, who's an ISA, and I'm like, hey, like, the call goes like this. It's like, hi, you know, Cody speaking. They're like, hey, you were on our site looking, do you want to buy? And then it just goes into that, like, how many rooms? What's your price point? But if the conversation's more like, hey, Cody, like, yeah, I saw you're browsing in the Northwest. Like, did you check out Tuscany? Oh, no, I didn't. What's Tuscany? Tuscany's a really good family neighborhood. Or like, have you seen this home for sale in this community? Like we just listed it. It's really popular. You build more of a rapport and it feels like the person's actually talking to a human. It's like the human experience is so missed, I think, in like that type of space mm-hmm. that like the more we can channel that and have like, and we train that with our agents. Like I've had guys who, like I said, do that like 200 calls. And I'm like, dude, you've had no conversions. Like, please let me just like record your call. I don't even need to be there. Just record your call and let me listen to it. And it's them going like, hey, sorry. Yeah. You're on our site. Are you looking to buy a house? No. Okay. Well, let me know if you are. And I'm like, dude, that call's not going to convert. That you didn't even like, you know, or like the person says something simple, like, you know, like something about their family and like the ISA just like rolls over it. Like doesn't even acknowledge it. And I'm like, that's a no. Like we need to engage, build rapport and then demonstrate some value. And like, so our ISAs can't talk about like pricing or things like that, but they can talk about the areas. They can talk about like, they can say, hey, this is a great area because it's got a lake community. And like, I live in a lake community and it's, you know, and like tell them the benefits of a lake community and why as a family, that's like one of the best things you can be a part of. Right. That speaks to people.
Yeah. So yeah, I love that firstly. And then secondly, so why would an agent, is there a cost to use the ISA? Like, why would an agent choose to make the calls themselves versus having the ISA team do it?
We have a bit of a hybrid system with ours because like, truthfully, we generate a lot of leads. And with a system like that, like we're generating over, just in our one system, we're generating over 3,000 leads a month. So if like our ISA team gets like, say one ISA takes 100 leads and then they connect to 30 people that day. Now there's 70 leads that are like still not connected with. Yeah. And then that happens the next day and the next day. Right. And so like we have a bit of a hybrid system where, and one thing we learned too really early on is that like we wanted every agent to make 250K plus. Like it was like, dude, let's all make good money and get rich. Right. Yeah. Not everybody wants that. Like some people want to make 60K and they're happy. Some people want to make 100K and they're happy. And some people want to make 2 million. Like, right. Like it's so like for us to tell people where to go or how to make money, it doesn't make sense. So what we do is set up a system where we're like, hey, tell us what your goals are. And then we're going to support you in every way possible to achieve those. But I'm not making the calls for you. I'm not like doing the real estate side. You're going to have to do that, but we'll do everything else. Like we'll do everything we can to make you successful in that. And I think that like, and so then with that said, you know, we've got some agents who will get better leads and not in a favoritism way, but like if you're an agent on our team, not making calls, not like putting in effort, not really trying, I can't send you an inquiry lead from our ISA that just like converted a guy, right? I can't send that to you because you're not doing the same as the 20 other people who are in it, right? So, you know, we fairly distribute it for the people that are going with our ISA leads. But if you're an agent on your own, like not on your own, but like that's kind of just getting going or is rebuilding your pipeline, there's tons of just like you can just get leads as they come in. We don't filter what leads are coming in to who. So we put them on new lead status and say like, here's your opportunity to build that pipeline. And then once that pipeline's going and you're showing that you're mature in your business, we're going to help you keep doing that by supporting you with a bit easier leads too, you know?
Yeah, I love that. So kind of in line with that, in general, because I know you were saying you want everything to be individualized, and it truly is in this business. But generally speaking, top three things an agent, new, been doing it for a little while, experienced, very successful, across the spectrum, what are the top three things that an agent can do today that will spark some growth into their business, especially in the times we find ourselves in?
I mean, I'd say it's individual to each person because truly, like you can, if like, I spoke to an agent a couple weeks ago and they were picking my brain about like, what site should I go to? Should I go with Sierra or Boomtown or whatever? Right. And I told them like, hey, I could teach you how to do a PPC campaign and set it up. And like, once it's set up, you know, there's a little bit of management, but like, say you put 2 weeks of learning into this, it's a skill you'll have forever that like will help your business. And their response was basically like, But isn't there a company you said that like will do it for me? And it's like, that's the mindset of most people, right? It's like trying to do it the easy way, trying to get like as little work as possible. And like, I don't want to say that this is easy, but like, if you really treat this as a business, if you come in with it, like treating it like a business and own what like is going to make you motivated to get up and do it every single day, that's going to be what's going to make you successful, you know? And like a broker might tell you like, you know, listen to everything I say and do. And if I like, you know, if I tell you jump as high, like, but like that may not work for you. You know, the first brokerage I went into, the first, like they did new agent training. And in the very like first class, the biggest takeaway was like basically going to malls and shaking hands with random people to grow your network. And I'm like, that's not going to work. That's not going to work for most people. Most people can't do that for one. And two, like the conversion on that is awkwardly going to be low. You might get arrested. Who knows? And like there's plenty of like to go door knock. Like, why are we not talking about door knocking? Like right there, like, at least when you're at the door knocking, you have the opportunity to be at the place where they're potentially going to sell and list, and you can talk about it. There's like timing there, right? So like, you know, and you know, if someone says that they've been in the industry for 40 years and they can tell you how to do it, I might be a little nervous about it because like, are they doing what it takes today to teach you to be successful today? Because that may not apply then, right? You know?
Yeah, that's very true.
Own what you, you know, own the things that you know you're going to be successful with, but like stick to it because there's a lot of stuff that takes time, right? Like online lead gen, if you think that you're going to just start generating leads and they're going to convert and then you're going to get paid within a month, like probably not, you know, be realistic. Yeah.
So I was actually going to get onto that. What's the typicals of, for a new agent coming in, or even an agent that's already got some business, when they join with you guys, what's the typical onboarding look like in terms of timing, and when do they start to see the returns in terms of the commissions they want to earn?
What we always tell people, always, because like our industry is filled with a little too much smoke and mirrors, and when you have the brokerage, like the cloud-based brokerage models like Real and EXP, because there's that attraction-based portion of it, you have to be really careful with people pushing the agenda or narrative that like we can all drive Lambos in 1 year and make a ton of money. Because like very few are actually doing that, right? There's a ton that aren't. What was your main question there?
Just the typical timeline. So timeline, an agent joins up with you guys, when do they start seeing those deals start to close?
So what we try to say is basically like, if you've got a, you know, it, like where are you in life right now? And can you afford to not have an income for 1, 2, 3, 4 months? Like be realistic about it. I don't want to tell the person like, and especially too, like we've had guys that come in, ladies that come in, like not just guys, but people that have come in with families that have sat across me and been like, well, I think I'm going to go here because they told me they'd be giving me da da da. And I'm like, I know that team. I know they're not doing that. I know they have very few people doing that. That's scary. That person's got a family that's relying on them to come home. And like, if they don't know the industry, if they don't know what's going on, they're just believing that like that team is going to do that for them. And there's very few teams that are actually doing that kind of stuff. Right. And so for us, like, it's very like transparent. You get a lead. If you start with us today and I give you a lead today, and then you go out shopping with them this weekend, it could take 2 weeks, 3 weeks for them to actually buy or pick a house. And then it could be 2 weeks of conditions. And then it could be 2 months before they actually take possession. That's when your payday is. So like, can you deal with that? Can you handle that? You know, that was a big part even why we switched to the brokerage we switched to, because there are no upfront costs for the agents in the beginning. And so like it comes out of their splits. That is a lot easier and a lot more in line with our system, because like truthfully, like when someone does come in and they're starting a new business, it takes time to build that pipeline. It takes time to build that network and get going. And if you've got fees right off the hop, like $1,000 a month, you know, coming down your spine, you're like, oh, this is a lot. And there's a lot of upfront costs too. So new agents get in the industry and you've already shelled out $5,000. You know, last thing you want to do is be like, now I've got another $1,500 or whatever coming out every month that if I don't start selling, I'm in the hole.
Yeah. Yeah. It, I think a lot of people have the false expectation. And I think it comes down to something you were talking about earlier, just that, you know, that getting your license does not prepare you for this business at all. You know, I was lucky when I got into it, I had a mentor straight away. So I learned the business, but 99% of what I learned during my licensing was useless, you know?
So useless. And like, I actually just got called out because Slav, my operations guy, and I do a lot of interviews. And I just said to someone, I was like, you know, and like, they don't even teach the contract in like the contract we write on. They don't even teach that. And I've been saying that now for years. Apparently they just started teaching it because they switched over the governing body of who like executes the courses. So this candidate was like, yes, they do. Like we learned on it. And I was like, that's new. That's new. I'm glad that they've, you know, upped it a little, but like for many, many years, you had agents licensed who didn't even know what the contract they'd be writing a deal on looked like.
Yeah.
That's bizarre. Scary. You know?
Yeah.
Yeah. Scary, man.
But anyway, man, this was a great chat. Really appreciate you joining us. We kind of hit the sweet spot of timing. Where can people find you and get some more information about the brokerage and everything you're doing?
Yeah. Just check me out on Calgary Real Estate Agent. I pretty much on anything. I think I've nabbed that handle. Instagram's probably a good one to find me on though. And if you want to see what we're doing online, you got repcalgaryhomes.ca, calgaryluxuryrealestate.com, and homesforsalenearme.ca, a few ones that we're running.
Okay. Awesome, man. Yeah. Appreciate you joining us.
Thanks for having me, man. I really appreciate it.